धन्यम यशस्यम आयुष्यम पुण्यम स्वस्थायनम महत् स्वर्गम द्रव्यम सोमनस्यम प्रशस्यम अगमाशनम. Translation. By hearing the narration of Dhruva Maharaj, one can fulfill desires for wealth, reputation, increased duration of life. It is so auspicious that one can even go to a heavenly planet or attain Dhruva Loka, which was achieved by Dhruva Maharaj, just by hearing about him. The devas, the demigods, also become pleased because this narration is so glorious and it is so powerful that it can counteract all the results of one's sinful activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are different type of men in this world, not all of them pure devotees. Some are karmis, desiring to acquire vast wealth. There are those persons who are only after reputation. Some desire to be elevated to the heavenly planets or to go to Dhruva Loka. And others want to please the demigods to get material profits. Herein it is recommended by Maitreya that even one of them can hear the narration about Dhruva Maharaj and thus get their desired goal. It is recommended that the devotees, the kama, the karmi, sarva kama, and the gyanis, who desire to be liberated, moksha kama, should all worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead to acquire their desired goals of life. Similarly, if anyone hears about the activities of the Lord's devotee, he can achieve the same results. There is no difference between the activities and the character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and those of his pure devotees. Shudvaitat chadaya bhikshnam achuta priya cheshtitam bhavet bhaktir bhagavati yayasyat klesha sangshaya. Anyone who hears the narration of Dhruva Maharaj and who repeatedly tries with faith and devotion to understand his pure character attains the pure devotional platform and executes pure devotional service. By such activities, one can diminish the threefold miserable conditions of material life. Purport. Here the word achuta priya is very significant. Dhruva Maharaj's character and reputation are great because he is very dear to achuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord are pleasing to hear, hearing about his devotees who are very dear to the Supreme Person is also pleasing and potent. If one simply reads over and over again about Dhruva Maharaj by hearing and reading this chapter, one can attain the highest perfection of life in any way he desires. Most importantly, he gets a chance to become a great devotee. To become a great devotee means to finish all miserable conditions of materialistic life. Are there any miserable conditions to materialistic life? So there's so many glories here to hearing about Dhruva Maharaj. So which day is better? Morning and every morning and night? This interesting verse here. Gyanam agyata tatvaya yodadhyat sat pate mitam kripalor dinanatasya devas tasyanu grinate. Translation. The narration of Dhruva Maharaj is sublime knowledge for the attainment of immortality. Persons unaware of the absolute truth can be led to the path of truth. Those who out of transcendental kindness take on the responsibility of becoming master protectors of the poor living entities automatically gain the interest and blessings of the devas. So here it's mentioning how by one taking responsibility for, it says here, the dina natasya, the having mercy, kripa lor, to the, and being a protector of the poor. Dina means poor, Natha means protector, like Jagannath, protector of the universe, Lord of the universe. So, this is a service which is very important. Prabhupada took that service. He went around saving so many dina, poor people, spiritually poor, in the material, in the West, people are proud of having some social advancement or some kind of economic advancement, but spiritually they are dina. They're poor because most people, they don't even know that there's anything beyond the body. Everything, all their happiness, all their desires are based on the body. Prabhupada mentions here, a kind-hearted devotee is called Dinanath, the protector of the poor, ignorant mass of people. Lord Krishna is also known as Dinanath or Dinabandhu, the master or actual friend of the poor living entities. And his pure devotees also take the position of Dinanatha. The Dinanathas, or devotees of Lord Krishna, preach the path of devotional service, become the favorites of the devas. Generally, people are interested in worshipping the demigods, especially Lord Shiva, in order to obtain material benefits. But a pure devotee who engages in preaching the principles of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, does not need to separately worship the demigods. The demigods are automatically pleased with him and offer all the blessings within their capacity. As by watering the root of a tree, the leaves and branches are automatically watered. So by executing pure devotional service to the Lord, the branches, twigs, and leaves of the Lord, known as demigods, are automatically pleased with the devotee and they offer all benedictions. Also, like Dhruva Maharaj's mother, she was the second wife of the king Uttanapada, and the younger wife, she was the first wife, and the second wife was younger, maybe more attractive, I don't know, in the opinion of the king in any case. So he was neglecting his first wife. It's one of the problems in ancient times, there was polygamy, but it's hard, the husband's supposed to treat everybody equal, but it's not always possible. And so the second wife, she wanted both the sons, both had sons. They're both sitting on the lap of the king. And the second wife, the younger one, said that, you know, I only want the child from my womb to sit on your lap, push off the other one. And he was like so henpecked that he pushed off Dhruva. And Dhruva felt very insulted, like, you know, I'm a father, I'm a son of my father, why should he push me off, why should he mistreat me? So then he wanted to get some, you know, justice for this offense. He went to the minister, but the ministers are appointed by the king, and so what can they do? So nobody could give him any advice what to do. The king was the highest authority in that place, so went to his mother. And she just gave him advice. So I see the rishis and the sages and the saintly people, they go in the forest and they meditate and worship Bhagavan. So you should go there and then you worship Bhagavan. And he can satisfy all your desires. So because the mother gave the simple advice, Dhruva went looking for Bhagavan. He didn't have a clue who Bhagavan was. Looking under the rocks, you know. Are you Bhagavan? Hey! Going up to lions and tigers. Are you Bhagavan? Fearless. Somehow little kids are protected by Krishna. So somehow you survived all these big dangers, not even feeling fear, just looking for Bhagavan. He was determined. Then Narayan sent Narad Muni, better help the guy. Then Narad first tested him and tried to dissuade him that don't do all these things. You know, you're a young kid, go back, play with you. It's not important. And he said, look, if you want to help me, then I'll talk with you. But if you don't want to help me find Bhagavan, then, you know, I don't have that time for you because I want to find Bhagavan. And then, okay, then Narad was pleased that, okay, he's really determined. In fact, the word for determination in India is Dhruva. He's like the... So then Narad taught him the mantras and taught him how to meditate. Told him to go to Madhubon. Madhubon is one of the 12 forests in Vrindavan. Have you been? How many have been to Madhubon? Yes, we went. It's near Mathura. I think we went. Well, I went. There's also temple of the grandson of Krishna there, and many holy places there. One of them is the place where Dhruva meditated. So he was meditating, because when you meditate in a Vrindavan or Mayapur, then you get like 1,000 times the benefit. So he accelerated his meditation by 1,000 times, and with him increasing his meditation on Krishna, Super Soul in the heart, increasing the fasting, and then, because that was Satyuga, so why wasn't he given the Harinam? Because Satyuga, where the process was meditation. Even Prahlad Maharaj, there's a temple in South India called Melkote, about 2.5 hours south of Bangalore. And there's a Yoga Narsingha Deity, because Prahlad was going with his traveling, and then Narsingha, he was trying to meditate on this mountaintop, because the mountain's good for meditation, like Sedona. It's kind of, it's a mountain area, so it's, this Melkote is also, was a holy place. He didn't realize it, but it was considered Vaikuntha on earth, because there was other pastimes that happened there even before Prahlad. So here, we don't know what pastimes happen here, but seems people here are interested in spiritual life, and that's a very good quality. Prabhupada said if you go to Mayapur, one of the qualities is that you should become more attached to Lord Chaitanya, that should just like awaken. So people here are interested in spiritual life, that's a symptom of some spiritual quality to the place. You go to LA, probably don't get too much interested in spiritual life, or some other big cities in the world. So if people have that inclination, that's a good sign that this has got some spiritual potency, some kind of a chakra or something. But we don't have any Vedic evidence to really say what happened here. Huh? Maybe some could speculate. But Madhubon, that was a bona fide part of Vrindavan, and so he meditated, and 5-6 months he was able to realize that Narayana appeared to him, and then he got the spiritual blessings. Narayana, but then he saw, so Narayana asked him, what did you want from me? And of course he wanted to have a bigger kingdom than his father, and kind of all the things oriented kind of get back at his father a little bit for mistreating him. And then he realized that what I wanted was not important compared to having actually achieved you, to having seen you. I wanted broken glass and I got a diamond instead. So to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's offering all these kind of material things. So, well, whatever you wanted, I'm going to give you those things because that was your desire. But then Dhruva said, please give me pure devotional service. And I'm afraid now that if I become a great king and all these things, that maybe I'll fall into illusion. And then Krishna blessed him and said, long as you always do everything for me and you remember me, then you will not fall down, and you'll come back to me. I'll protect you. So this also shows us, you know, that Dhruva, he was depending on Krishna, on Narayana, all throughout his life. And one time he got a little bit distracted by a war with the Yakshas, but even then his elders in the universe, like Brahma, came, and Manu, I think Brahma came for, and preached to him that, because this Yaksha, somebody Yaksha killed his brother, so he was like, was almost getting to the point that if he fought anymore, it'd become a genocide against the Yakshas. And so they came, you know, it's enough. One guy killed your brother. That's the one who should get punished, not the whole Yaksha raid. But of course, the Yakshas attacked him. It was kind of started off as self-defense, but then he started using all the potencies he had, and it was so devastating for the Yakshas. And then the Yakshas' kind of patron saint in the heavenly planets is Kuvair, because Kuvair was the treasurer of the demigods, angels. Maybe in Western people hear more about angels than demigods. I was visiting one of my god sisters, She had a book. I don't know. Maybe she said download that book. Keep it on your thing here. But it was like the Encyclopedia of Angels. And there's like 18,000 angels and different categories. Those who are directly serving God. Those who are over responsible for material functions in the universe. So I said, well, the material function in the universe, those are the demigods. That's what they do. Somebody's in charge of air. Somebody's in charge of water. Somebody's in charge of fire. So when you talk, you say devas to our audience that doesn't know much about Eastern religion, then. But if you say angel, angels. So they have all these different categories of angels. We have different categories. Like the devas are the ones in the universe, and the ones in the spiritual world are called parsharas, associates of the Lord. They're a much higher level, like Vishnu Dutas. So anyway, they're all concerned also about Dhruva. Came down, advised him. Enough's enough. Your brother's whatever. You've done what you had to do for him. Apart from that, he didn't really even have a blip. A whole life he was regulated, doing his devotional service and. So finally, at the end of his life, these Vishnu Dutas appeared in a spiritual airplane. Messengers from the spiritual world take him back to Godhead, take him to Dhruva Loka. And then Dhruva Loka is a north star. Never moves. Supposed to be a spiritual planet in the material world. That's why it doesn't move. In fact, it's like an anchor for the other planets and galaxies. Moving around in a organized way. They're all anchored in some subtle way to the Dhruva Loka or the North Star. So that's why it doesn't move. Of course, in ancient times, the people, the sailors, they would, in the night, they would guide where they're going by the North Star. Everything else is moving, but that one's fixed. So then if you can fix with that one, you'll know where to go, how to go east, or if you have one fixed point. So all the planets have their orbit, but that's another topic. So the Vishnu Dutas came, and he did his prayers and did his Gayatri and everything, and then he was invited to come onto the spiritual airplane. He thought, well, if it wasn't for my mother telling me to look for a God, look for Bhagawan, personality of Godhead, I wouldn't have gone this route. I wouldn't be getting on this spiritual airplane and being taken back to the spiritual world now. So he's thinking like that. So what about my mother? How can I leave without her? And then they kind of indicate, look up, because they could read his mind. And there his mother was in another spiritual airplane, kind of waving, come on, come on. Because she was the guru. Therefore, she was taken first. So the different kinds of guru. Someone shows the way. It's called Vartma Pradarshak Guru, who shows the path. Or Pat Pradarshak. Pat and path. Spelled the same, it's pronounced a little different. Then there's different Siksha Gurus who guide. So those who are helping the Dinas, those who are spiritually in need, they get the special blessing, as Sama Prabhupada said, if one person that you're helping gets back to Godhead, and you also, because you're some kind of a guru for that person, whether so maybe also initiating guru takes a major responsibility, but not everybody gets up to that level. And so you get a free ticket back to spiritual world. So I was thinking here, some of the devotees who are living here and in all our centers, they're helping different people too, those who are doing Namhat leadership and Bhakti Viksha leadership. They're helping people to understand the purpose of life, to serve Krishna, to do bhakti yoga, and if they get back to Krishna, then all those who help, they also get a free pass. So it's very important what you're all doing here, that helping people. Many people may experience in different aspects of material life, but to know what is the spiritual purpose of life, and that makes even mundane scientists, more like our psychologists and psychiatrists have been studying. They say meditation is very effective for dealing with stress. They say that of all the meditations, the mantra meditation seems to be the most effective. They do all the brain scans and things, see how the mind becomes settled. They can't test the higher spiritual results, but they can see some external results. So we know here from the Srimad Bhagavatam that even a little help can go a long way. We need to be like Dhruva and become a little determined that we avoid the things which are detrimental. I know, like in Europe, Satchinanda Maharaj was telling me that when they present the four regular principles to people, they do it in a different way, not in a more of a positive way, that cleanliness, close to godliness, people know like of cleanliness, and that it's important for our spiritual advancement. And so there's one of the principles that if we break it, that will take away our cleanliness, take away our mercy. If we eat meat, then we lose mercy. We're being very merciless to the animal who's not. You don't need to eat meat to be healthy or to be strong. And there's a whole list of great athletes and personalities who are vegetarian. So by presenting it more from the positive side, then people, they can accept it. We just say, no meat, no fish, no egg, no, I remember one sannyasi was doing Harinam in Piccadilly Square in London. I happened to want to join the Harinam. It was before the Rath Yatra. There was like 200 devotees there. And Piccadilly Square is like casinos, bars, meat restaurants, and nightclubs, and all the Kali Yuga things. And they had a big crowd of people. It was a very ecstatic Harinam. But he said, shouted out the four principles to these people. rather than saying something, maybe they could relate with positive and get them, was like too much for any, most of the people couldn't digest looking around, went off into the nightclub. So we had to give the message to people according to the time, place, and circumstance. And when people actually, Rupa Goswami said, when you develop a taste for chanting, a taste for spiritual life, then it's appropriate to tell them about the rules and things that you can do to maintain your spirituality. But if you just put the rules and everything first before they even have a taste, they may be like, well, it's too tough for me, I'm never going to be able to do that. Give them some baby steps that they can take, that they can gradually come up and develop a spiritual taste. And no, 15. So, I'm sure you're all expert in doing these things. Sometimes when you have a mixed crowd, you don't know where to aim. For the more advanced fixed ones, or for the common denominator. So you have to make it interesting for everyone. And hopefully to hear all this more advanced devotees, hope they can develop a taste and transcend all the different obstacles that are there in spiritual life. So they requested me to take our breakfast together, and I could talk to a few devotees who want to talk to me, so I should end here. But I was thinking, just how Dhruva came up, I was thinking, well, maybe having a whole course on Dhruva, because you get all these benefits, you get whatever you want. It's the benefit for the material incline, for the spiritual, for the pure devotees. the same way, doing pure devotional service or bhakti yoga, you can get akamo. It's for the akamos, those who have no desire, no material desire, they just want the spiritual love of Krishna, develop that love from inside and awaken it, storm it in all of us. Sarvakama, those who still have a lot of material desires and they want to enjoy those things. So if you have one, you tend to have so many, unlimited. Sarvakama, then mokshakama, those who want to get salvation, they just want to merge in the light or stop the reincarnation. Akamo, sarvakamo, va mokshakamo, daradi, tibrena, bhakti jogena, jajeta, purushang param. They should just offer unalloyed, unconditional, not make any conditions, just offer their devotional service to Dhruva, to Krishna. And like Dhruva, he had some conditions, but he didn't make any conditions. He just offered the service, didn't ask for anything, but the Lord knew what he wanted, so he gave him everything he wanted, which even later he regretted that maybe there was something better. I didn't really have the understanding. So everyone from every position can start, and by doing devotional service, then like Dhruva, they'll awaken their love for Krishna. Awaken love. You'll love Krishna because everyone's a part of Krishna. You'll love everyone. How can you have universal brotherhood if there's not a universal father? So thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.